Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's Mother's Day, and today we honor not only all mothers, but all women in general. They have a tough job. You see, neither children nor husbands come with instruction manuals. One experienced mother was overheard to say, "Before I was married, I had three viable theories on raising children. Now I have three children and no viable theories on how to raise them." Being a mom is kind of a messy job. So today it's appropriate and right that we pause to honor our mothers and our wives and women in general. At the same time, I know that there may be some of you who don't see today as necessarily a happy day. A lot of us have lost our mothers and they have gone before us, and so we might remember them with some sadness. Perhaps your relationship with your mother was not as good as you would like to have had it be. Perhaps it was not what you had desired your relationship to be like. Or perhaps you wanted to be a mother and that has just never happened just yet for you. In biblical times, society was mostly patriarchal. That is, the men were in charge, and women were certainly not, and they were placed in a secondary position. And so as I began to contemplate what I might say today, I thought, well, what does the Bible have to say about women? One source that I went to suggested over 100 verses in the Bible that speak to or about women. And I'm happy to say that in spite of that patriarchal society of the time, women are held in high esteem in the Bible. It began when God saw Adam in the Garden of Eden, and he said, "It's not good that man should be alone." And God said, "It is, therefore I will make a helper for him." In the Old Testament, accounts of Ruth and Deborah and Esther reveal that women had wisdom and were dedicated to the church and to their faith. In the New Testament, accounts of Dorcas and Priscilla and Lois and Eunice reveal that women were highly regarded and very important in the early Christian church. Many of the verses that we read in the Bible about women come from the book of Proverbs. In chapter 12, we read, "An excellent wife is the crown of her husband." In Proverbs 18, we read, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." And in 19, I like this one, the author says, "House and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." The text that I am preaching on today is Proverbs chapter 31, and I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but I'm going to read some selected verses from it. That chapter gives further testimony to the great value that God places on women of faith. King Lemuel is considered to be the author and the person who is speaking in that chapter. And he begins in verse 10 by saying, "Who can find an excellent wife?" And then he goes on to describe the great value that God places on having a wife of faith. And he answers that question by saying, "Because an excellent wife is more precious than jewels." In those days, jewels had great value. Sapphire and onyx and crystal were things that were very expensive and come by only with great deal and at great expense. And so as we read through chapter 31 in Proverbs, we see that it is a description of the value of a Christian wife and mother. So the answer to my question, what does the Bible have to say about women, is really that women have great value and are to be greatly treasured. Women are to be highly valued because God made them special. Eve was taken from Adam's rib, not from the dust of the ground, which would have made her a completely separate individual. She was made from Adam's rib, meaning that they were actually created from the same being, each being half of the whole person. It meant that she was made of the same stuff. It meant that she was every bit a part of the initial creation that God had made in his image. She was designed to be a suitable helper for him, and it meant that she was co-equal with Adam. I did come across something else that I haven't thought about before, and nobody had ever pointed out. That word helpmeet that we read in the King James Version is never translated as either assistant or servant or minion or subordinate. It is translated in all other instances as a powerful and extensive support. That word helpmeet is always translated and is used to describe things like dominant military forces. And in other passages, that same word is used to describe the potent interventions and deliverances of God himself. Woman was therefore created to complement the man. She was created as an integral part of man. And she was created as a powerful and influential companion for man. And there's one more thing I want to point out that I had not come across before, but I think it's at least interesting to think about. That Hebrew word that's translated as rib, that Eve is created out of, you remember God placed Adam in a sleep and took his rib and created Eve. That Hebrew word that's used in Genesis 2 is also used in other parts of the Old Testament. Where it is used in other parts of the Old Testament, the word is used to describe the side of the Ark of the Covenant. It's used to describe the side of the altar. It's used to describe the side of the tabernacle. Using that meaning, we might wonder how much of Adam's side did God use anyway? Did he use just Adam's rib? Or did he take an entire side of Adam and create Eve? That raises the possibility that Eve could have been fashioned more than from just Adam's rib. And it would add to or change how we think about statements that we read in the Old Testament. You remember the first thing that Adam said after he saw Eve was, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And if God used an entire half of Adam, that seems to make more sense. And it also makes more sense out of the words that Jesus used when he said, "And the two shall become one flesh." It makes us think differently about that. Regardless of whether God created Eve from Adam's rib or used an entire half of him, we still know that God created Eve to be a complement and to complete the man, that the two would become one. She was created to be beside the man, never above him, never below him. And the value of women, too, is seen in their service to their families and to others. Proverbs 31, and I would encourage you to go read that after services, lists more than a dozen different things that the ideal woman does for her husband and for her family and for her children. Now, ladies, before you jump on me for saying that, and you say, "I don't have the time to do all of those things. I'm not a perfect human being. I can't get all of those things done. I am certainly not that excellent wife that King Lemuel describes." you still have to admit that there are a lot of things that you do each day for your family. And those things are done in service to Christ as part of your Christian calling to be a wife and a mother. It means you have great value. In verse 28, King Lemuel goes on to say, "And her children will rise up and call her blessed for all she does for her family." And in verse 23, he says, "Her husband will be happy, a happy man as he enjoys the blessings of this gift God has given to him." And so today it is important that husbands and children place a high value on the precious gift that God has given them in terms of the wife and the mother that they have. It's important that they do, that we do, everything that we can to make mothers and wives as happy and fruitful in this abundant life that we have in Jesus Christ. But we live in a broken world. And because there is such a thing as sin, there's not such a thing as a perfect wife. And I quickly add, there's no such thing as a perfect man either. Paul says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Some women may feel uncomfortable when they read that text that I talked about in Proverbs 31, because as they read through those things, they say, "Golly, there's no way I can do all of those things. I am certainly not an example of an excellent or a virtuous woman that Proverbs 31 describes." But there's good news for you. There's good news for all of us. It is that God loves us just the way you are. God loves you, ladies, because you are who you are. He doesn't happen to notice all of the flaws that you have, the roles that you have, the wrinkles that you might have, and whatever else you see as being unattractive. God forgives everyone of their sins for Jesus' sake, and uses us all in ways that are beyond our human understanding and in ways that we can't grasp in terms of time. He uses us to strengthen Christian homes and to extend his eternal kingdom that we know as the Holy Christian Church. And so today, may God help us to always give thanks for each other, and especially today that we give thanks for Christian women on this Mother's Day. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.